In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And thank you for joining us today here on the iSpy Radio Show, where every week we're helping you get a little more intelligence on big government. You know, if you joined us last week, you heard a couple of shocking stories, and this week's show will be a continuation of those stories. We'll be talking with Jane Carroll about the Newt Bueller situation and the leftist billionaire secret operatives they've placed in state's attorneys general offices, including right here in Oregon. And we have some news on that. A thank you to all of you who wrote in and shared your thoughts on the situation. I know a lot of you were angry and disappointed, to say the least. You know, it really is amazing when you think about it, the arrogance of the political class. They still don't get why Trump won. Trump won because he was championing the issues the voters cared about. But the political class, they look at you and think, how can you people not believe what I'm telling you to believe? And that's the difference. You know, there are so many opportunities where Newt could attract more voters, especially from his own side. But instead, well, actually, let's talk about that. I'd like to welcome now Jane Carroll. She is a longtime Portland radio show host. I used to be on KUIK, and she now has her own podcast on the janecarrollshow.com. You can listen Mondays and Thursdays. Is that right, Jane?
That's correct. And every other Thursday, we have a group called the Conservative Council. Mark, you've been on that. You do a terrific job with it. You're always a great addition to it. We're looking forward to having you back.
That would be great. I'm just looking forward to my next invite. So,
okay.
Well, we want to have you on because of last week's show with Newt Bueller, about Newt Bueller, I should say, and also some really interesting events that have happened that we uncovered. Actually, we have a state legislator now looking into this. This is how these billionaires have these secret armies buried within state's attorneys generals, and we'll come back to that maybe in the next segment or so. But we really wanted to get your thoughts on the Newt Bueller issue, because here we have a situation where a Republican candidate for governor is very likely to push through a carbon tax. And this is rather shocking. We had our guest last week was meteorologist and fierce global warming debunker Chuck Weiss. He was on to discuss Newt's flip-flopping on whether he would back a carbon tax if elected governor. And so you heard the show. What were your thoughts as you listened?
Well, first of all, I think this is an issue. I don't agree with the Bueller position on this, and I adamantly disagree. But I don't think this is something that, I don't know about you, Mark, but I've had a hard time getting people to grasp this issue and the serious ramifications on the economy and on political correctness. This is just a tax scheme to me, and a moneymaker. And it's a politically punitive thing to do to people, too, but it's very difficult for the public to understand it. It takes a while to explain it, and then their eyes sort of glass over, and they just think, well, that's government. That's what they do. And it's not something for people that follow politics closely and the economy closely and who are conservative. This is a real negative thing, but that's not a lot of people. And so I'm not sure it really is an issue that's going to resonate unless it's explained to people a lot. And I don't think the people that explain things to people other than voices like ours are going to. You don't see the networks, TV stations doing it. You're not going to see the major newspapers doing it. It's just not. It's people don't understand the negative ramifications of it. And people in the state tend to like environmental things, and even though they're basically taxes guised as environmental, good for the environment. It's a very difficult one. I don't think it's going to have that much of an impact, but. With that caveat being said, I think some of the people that might be the strongest voices for Newt Bueller in a race for governor are going to be far less enthusiastic because of this position.
Yes, and I think that is really the key. I know somebody like Chuck, I mean, you know, he was saying last week that he doesn't think that he can support Newt. In fact, he's even looking at maybe not supporting him to the point where he's taking out ads against him. Because people that do understand the issue, like Chuck, know how much this is really going to negatively impact the economy of Oregon. I mean, and as evidence of that, just look to our neighbor to the south, California. They lost 10,000 businesses since the carbon tax went into
and they have the highest in California. The Golden yes. State has the highest poverty rate in the country.
Yeah.
And so this is not a policy without serious and dire ramifications. But I think that once again, politically in this race, when you have somebody like Chuck Weitz, who is highly regarded in circles that influence people on the Republican side of the aisle, and this is also important.
Yes. Well, and I
donors. Yeah, there's some donors that are not going to back this.
Yes. Well, exactly. And when you look at some of the donors, you know, in fact, I was looking at the money just last night. They have roughly about the same amount of money, but Newt is underwater right now in terms of compared to Kate by about 700,000. But you're really right in the sense that this is going to throw a cold shower on those who might otherwise be supportive of him, and it's that kind of rolling impact of taking away potential supporters. That could be out there pushing your campaign when instead they're just, you know, they just don't have any enthusiasm, and you need that. Let's go and take a break there. I'd like to pick this up on the other side of the break, talking more about Newt Bueller and his potential support for carbon tax and what kind of impact that will have on both the state and the Republican Party. And welcome back. This is the I Spy Radio Show. Talking today to Jane Carroll. She is a longtime radio host in the Portland area. She's also been around politics for over 30 years as both a supporter of the Republican Party, but also as a campaign manager for multiple campaigns. We're talking about the Newt Bueller potential support for a carbon tax. He is really being rather squishy as to whether or not he actually will support a carbon tax, and we can't seem to get any straight answers out of his campaign. There's a couple points, though, I'd like to follow up, though, on from not only last week's show, but last segment. One of the things that really bothers me about Newt's potential support for this is it shows a fundamental misunderstanding of how the left operates and how this carbon tax, anything that goes to an outside organization, outside of government, it's all going to go to the left. This is how the left funds itself, is bleeding off taxpayer dollars and giving it to themselves. And we see this time and again. We see it exclusively on with the global warming, that all of the money that goes to scientists and goes to non-governmental organizations and nonprofits, they're all on the left. And we're talking billions of dollars, billions of taxpayer dollars that ends up funding your own opponent. And so when we see a Republican like Newt in there that is espousing this, you're cutting checks to your opponents. I don't understand how anybody cannot see that.
No, it's almost like a naivete.
Yes. And
because I don't think I think Newt Bueller is a, unlike his opponent, Kate Brown, I think he's an ethical man. I think he's honest. I think he's well intended. I don't think but the lack of understanding of the consequences of this to the people of the state, to the economy, and it's simply just not a conservative point of view. And they also don't understand the impact on the little guy, because the carbon tax adds a tax to absolutely everything. So when you buy a widget, that widget gets taxed. The things that go into making the widget get taxed if it involves energy. The cost of then when it's going to market, the cost of that is added, that gets taxed. So the price of everything goes up dramatically, and Oregon's products become less valuable and
less competitive, yeah.
And far less competitive, and that's the last thing we need. The other part about it that, and this is where it's really very dangerous, and this is where in the hands of somebody like a tyrant like Kate Brown, who was owned by these special far left special interests, they give each company, per se, an allotment of energy they can use, and if based on past use. And they give them less than they have used in the past with the incentive that they will be more environmentally friendly, use less energy, except that that's a political decision. So if you're a major donor to a Cape Brown, you're probably going to get a lot more allotment than somebody who was not, or some company you don't like, or some company you're going out to get. So what they do is they give them far less allotments, and then they have to go out and buy credits from these far left companies on these or interests, and they use it more for left wing purposes.
Right.
It is a horrible and very complicated, and what they count on is that the people don't understand it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we certainly see that in all levels of politics. I guess one of the things that bothers me also about this is the fact that Newt himself simply won't meet with these guys that are trying to educate him on what a carbon tax is and also the complete fallacy of global warming. Newt has said that he believes in global warming, and he has made up his mind and is very adamant that he simply won't listen to anybody that doesn't believe in global warming. And I that really bothers me, especially in terms of moving forward. You would hope that we'd be in a situation where if you get Newt in, and he's certainly better than Kate on a number of issues, you know, that maybe he'll start listening. But at this juncture, it doesn't appear that he does want to listen. And that, I think, is the real danger from what Chuck was saying last week, is that you get a Republican in there, he's going to drag some of the Republican legislators over there. And so this carbon tax will go through with him in office, whereas it may not go in if Kate is in office. So let's say for a moment that the Republicans do impose a carbon tax. The Republican Party imposes a carbon tax. What is your projection of what will happen to Oregon's Republican Party as a result?
Well, I'm not sure the Republican Party could be in much worse shape. Let's be honest about that.
That's
true. I guess sort of the... And this is something we don't know. We have to sort of count on it. Is that one? It's one thing when you're running for office to sort of toe the line. And let's face it, in Oregon, the environment is a big issue. It sounds good. It makes people feel warm and fuzzy. Being for global warming has become believing in climate change and all that means you're environmentalist. If you don't believe in global warming and if you discredit it as a reason to do things, and especially raise taxes and spend more money on liberal causes, you don't support the environment. They've turned everything into somehow you support pollution if you don't support global warming and the theories behind it and the things that the do-gooders want to do. So I think Newt Buehler has just sort of thrown down the gauntlet and said, I don't want to go there. And you couple that with some of, for example, his pro-abortion stance, and that takes away a little less enthusiasm for people. It chinks away.
Yes.
But he has decided in his strategy, and this is going to be the test of it, Mark, because Kate Brown is not a popular governor. And under the circumstances, she should have a huge lead. She really should, because the economy in Oregon is so much better than it was because of the Trump policies. And we've got the lowest unemployment. Our schools stink. Our state's in huge debt because of poor mismanagement and 30 years of Democrat overspending. And Kate Brown embodies the continuation of, at best, mediocrity in the state. She is very, very vulnerable. But because things seem to be getting better in the economy, she benefits from that. And Buehler's trying to separate those issues and tap into things like education, but people are very concerned about. We're at the bottom. We're at the bottom of education, and that's inexcusable. That really is in a state that like Oregon. It's just wrong, and we keep throwing money at the problem and we don't get anything better. But my concern is that Buehler is focusing on the issues that Kate Brown is setting the table, and the major ad I've seen most often about how is he's, pro-abortion, and that Kate Brown's lying about him being pro-life.
And that's a whole other issue there, where he's again going to be bleeding off Republican supporters who might otherwise be out there supporting him if he wasn't so pro-abortion, because we know pro-life is very important to a lot of Republicans. You know, the irony of what you were saying there was rather thick. You've got anti-Trump Newt Bueller being benefited by a Trump economy, and at the same time, it would have been very ironic that had Hillary gotten in place, the economy would have tanked, and that may have driven out Kate Brown. So
right.
The irony is thick.
It's one of the ironies. You're not going to see the people in Oregon told that story.
No, or even think about admitting it. Let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll pick this up with Jane Carroll after this. And welcome back. We're talking today with Jane Carroll. She is a longtime political strategist and also a radio show host. She has her own podcast on the JaneCarrollShow.com. Jane is J-A-Y-N-E. And we will link all of that up on iSpyRadio.com. So, Jane, we were talking a little bit there during the break in terms of Newt's chances. And you know, I just don't understand his strategy because he is so appealing to the Democrats right now. It's like he thinks he can add by subtracting because he keeps driving away Republicans. And, you know, if you take in isolation this notion of the carbon tax, but then you've got these other issues where he is adamantly pro-abortion. And so you're going to be driving off Republicans there. And it just seems like every ad that you see is geared more for Democrats than it is for Republicans. And you would think at some point you'd want to throw out something there to try to get your base behind you.
Well, I think what he's, there was some healing done after the primaries because there was, you know, that was a bitterly fought, particularly among the party faithful, the activists in the party. They all had their candidates. Bueller ran the better campaign. He certainly raised a lot more money. And one of the things I actually really liked about what Newt Bueller did when his opponents threw things at him, unlike when he was running against Kate Brown, for Secretary of State, He just caved, and not this time. He was ready. He fought back. He was equally aggressive. He was a more sophisticated and more ready for statewide competition. And Kate Brown is a vicious campaigner, so you have to be ready for that. And the other thing about him, he's raising money, and a lot of Republicans think you can, you know, win in a couple of million dollars, and you can't.
No,
and he's
no.
getting outside state support because the poll numbers look pretty good for him. It looks like it's possible a Republican in a very blue state might have a shot at winning because people don't like Kate Brown. She has not developed any kind of affinity with the voters. Democrats vote for her because she's a Democrat. The feminists like her. The most extreme people within the Democrat Party like Kate Brown because she's very extreme herself. Newt Bueller is a moderate, and that's what he ran more to the right in the primaries, but now he's running as a moderate for governor. And yeah, he has opted to think that the Republicans are going to, because they so want a statewide elected official, that they will hold their nose and vote for him. Now, this is a strategy, and you know this, Mark, that conservatives sort of believe if we actually put up a conservative, a well-funded conservative, you need the money.
Yes.
But to get the message across, they could have a chance in Oregon. Moderates don't believe that. They think the only way to win in Oregon as a Republican is to run as a Democrat light.
Yes.
And this is going to be a test of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you couldn't get somebody that's more moderate and more Democrat-light than Newt Bueller. So, yeah, this is a total test for that theory. And, you know, in my heart of hearts, I just don't think that it's a winning strategy. I would love to be wrong on this, but I just don't see it because you're bleeding off Republicans left and right. No pun intended there, but you're bleeding off Republicans, and I just don't see that you're going to be able to pull over enough Democrats. If anything, a Democrat will sit out the race entirely rather than pull the lever for Republican. I think that's the flaw in his strategy.
Yeah, but once again, and this school of thought, which I'm not an advocate of, but it's a school of thought that's held by many, many advisors to political candidates in this state, is that, you know, you go to the right in the primaries, you solidify that, you win the primary, and then you have to move to the center and to the left to not only get pick up some Democrats, which I just think is a ridiculous strategy. I think Democrats stay home if they don't have anybody they think they want to vote for, or just pass that thing on the ballot. But most of the voters in the state are independents, and that's who he's going for. That's who he's going. And he thinks, and he's obviously done some studies, and the independents in Oregon do tend to be pro believing in global warming and taking actions to deal with it. They tend to be more pro-abortion than they are pro-life. But it's and the people that have, a lot of people who are pro-life and are saying, you know, okay, I'll hold my nose, I'm going to vote for Buehler, because there's so many areas that he is so much better than Kate Brown. But then you add other issues on there. Okay, well, I'm going to have to hold my nose on this too, and I'm going to have to hold my nose on that.
Yeah, at what point does it cross over from holding my nose to suffocation?
Well, in a close race, if you lose 1% on abortion, if you lose 1% on, yep, it's over.
Yep, exactly.
So, but the counter argument is, Mark, and you know this as well, is in order to win, you got to win the independents. He thinks he's held the Republicans, and I think he has in a way. I think a lot of people they can't vote. You're not going to get any Republicans voting for Kate Brown.
I don't see that. Although, interestingly enough, some of the polls that I've seen do show a moderate amount of Republicans who said that they would vote for Kate Brown, which it just seems unbelievable to me.
The reason for that is the abortion issue. Kate Brown is focused. She's no fool. She focuses on the abortion issue because you saw what that did to Dennis Richardson. They have Newt Buehler, who is the nemesis of pro-life Republicans in general. That's not what they want. Is become the poster child of no abortion ever under Kate Brown's. So if you say that often enough, and people hear that often enough, and they're not that familiar with Newt Buehler, all they think of him, well, he's one of those right-wing, anti-abortion, women-hating misogynists.
Yeah.
And she's played that up really big. It's a card they all use. It's been used very effectively. It's one of the things Kitzhaber used against Dennis Richardson when he ran against him.
Yep, absolutely. And
that's what they're counting on. And Newt Buehler should not even talk about abortion.
I agree there. I think that's a losing issue for him, other than maybe to defend his position against some of the ridiculous claims that Kate Brown has done. But some of the polls that I saw showed 4% of Republicans willing to vote for Kate Brown. And that to me just shows that Republicans have been infiltrated by Democrats. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break here. Coming up, we're going to be talking about those secret operatives that billionaires have put into state's attorneys general's offices, including right here in Oregon. This segment of the iSpy Radio Show has been sponsored by Landmark Pacific. If you need a metal building for agricultural, commercial, or manufacturing, or you have one and it needs a little work, give my friend Dave Allmendinger a call. You can check out some of his great work, including the incredible Expo Center at Mount Angel, and get his contact information at landmarkpacific.com. That's landmarkpacific.com. Are you thinking about a career in the food industry? Then you need to check out nationally award-winning Oregon Coast Culinary Institute, OCCI. Live in their on-campus student housing on the Oregon Coast, attend school for less than a year, complete an externship, and in a short 15 months, you're done. OCCI can get you your dream job. Just imagine working as a chef on a private yacht or in a world-class resort, open a bakery or your own restaurant. Check out Oregon Coast Culinary Institute at OCCI.net. That's OCCI.net. Talking Oregon politics today, we're doing that with Jane Carroll. She is a longtime radio show host in the Portland area. You can now listen to her anywhere via her podcast, which is on Mondays and Thursdays. It's the JaneCarrollShow.com, and we'll link that up on our webpage, iSpyRadio.com. So, Jane, I'd like to talk about something that was rather shocking that came to light last week, and it is this notion that billionaires have secret operatives working within state's attorney general's offices all across the United States, especially right here in Oregon. There are even some emails that our guest last week had uncovered where Rosenblum is actually talking about you need to keep all of this kind of hush-hush because we don't want it to leak out to the public because it looks so bad. Since then, we have been contacted by a state representative. He's looking at doing an investigation on this. He has been contacted himself by a reporter who wants to do a follow-up to that as well. So this story is certainly not over. I was curious if you listened to that part of the show and what your thoughts were.
I did listen to it, and you know, there's sort of a common thread here. We've got billionaires infiltrating attorney general's offices. Now, just imagine this. If you put this in a novel, people wouldn't believe it. You've got the deep state, and what James O'Keefe, the extraordinary citizen journalist, is exposing, that these people working in the federal government on political causes and against President Trump. On our dime, we've got the swamp, and you and I have discussed the swamp before, and I knew it was big. I didn't have any idea how big and how corrupt it is. The FBI, I have no respect for the FBI anymore. I'm tired of hearing about all these honorable agents it's not the people that are out there in the field. They're all good people. Well, if they're all good people, stand up.
Yes.
And
yes.
Say something and
absolutely.
Stop, you know, and if you don't like what's going on, quit, because this is outrageous. We're not talking about, you know, here and there. These are high level people that were openly working against a candidate for president of the United States, for a candidate for the United States. And we're spending millions of tax dollars investigating collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, when there's far more collusion between the Hillary Clinton campaign and the FBI and the Russians than there is by the Trump campaign. Then you throw in Kate Brown, who was previously in Oregon, a Secretary of State. She was fostered, funded, trained. She's a disciple of George Soros.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, she was part of the state's attorney general project.
Right. So So we've got now they've taken over the Secretary of State's offices, enough of them. They're now working on the Attorney General's. They go for a state like Oregon, where it's, the Attorney General's office. Everybody in there is a far left liberal. You don't get to stay there. And now but explain to your audience, in case they didn't hear your show, why this is a bad thing. What are these billionaires trying to buy?
Well, essentially what they have is they've got a person from the outside, an operative, who's working on behalf of this billionaire. It's totally funded by the billionaire, so no taxpayer dollars are being spent on this. In fact, they like it that way because it never shows up. If you do a FOIA request or a public records request in terms of funding, this guy will never show up. And yet this is an operative working directly for a billionaire, all pushing global warming agenda. So we're right back again to the whole carbon tax thing. But you've got they're pushing this green energy nonsense and some of the other global warming aspects as well, and they're doing it under the auspices of this state's attorney general, but what they're really there is they're pushing this rich man's agenda by using those public offices, and it's shocking to think that we've got a situation here in America where some billionaire is essentially running the governor or the government behind the scenes. I mean, you know, talk about deep state. This is a clear case of that.
Yeah, and it's outside funding of government positions to do political work inside a government agency.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. It's corruption as deep as it gets, and yet, oh, these are just, you know, benevolent people who want to care about the environment. No, they want to run everything, and they do it in this sneaky, swamp-like style, and any of this stuff if Hillary Clinton had been elected.
No, absolutely. And the other thing that's really shocking about this, too, is people like Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, who are both big believers in global warming, George Soros, too, but it was mainly Michael Bloomberg that is doing this, but I'm sure Tom Steyer is behind it as well. These are guys that are making money off of the environment, that are making money off of global warming schemes, that are making money off of green energy. And so they've got people in there pushing the AG to implement this global warming agenda, and at the same time they're making money off it. I mean, this is corruption. I don't know that there's any other way to look at this.
No, it's not philanthropy or, you know, trying to support a good cause. It is self-serving, and it is total corruption. It's the media will not tell the story. And that's
they would be shouting from the rooftops if it turns out that the Koch brothers were funding secret operatives in attorney general's offices to shut down Planned Parenthood. You don't think that would be making headlines on CNN 24 hours a day for the next 10 weeks?
Oh, it would be the hugest scandal of all time. Yeah. No, who knows if they aren't?
Well, this is what gets me about the media on our side of the aisle, is that this kind of thing, you know, we should be the ones screaming about this 24/7. And yet Fox News isn't covering this. You know, some of the other independent Republican organizations, or at least that lean that way. I haven't seen any real articles in The Hill. I haven't seen any real articles in, well, of course, The Hill's not exactly on the right, but, you know, Washington Examiner, some of these other, you know, Washington Times, they at least lean a little to the right, and yet silence on this. I'm just shocked.
One of the things I think with these stories is, particularly like this, is they're so large. It requires, and so I think a lot of, I think Fox has moved farther to the left.
Yes.
I mean, they're a pretty moderate station. Now, some of their, you know, Sean Hannity and I think some of the hosts are not. But you listen to their mainstream reporting, they're more like Shepard Smith than they are like Sean Hannity. Yeah. I mean, and Shepard Smith is a Trump-hating liberal.
Yeah.
And it's very transparent. And if you watch the Weekend Crews, I call them the B team, they're all liberals.
Oh, yeah, very much. Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate that Fox has taken the turn that it has.
The Murdoch brothers, the sons running it now. It's a very different network, and it's sad.
It sure is.
But it's a big story. And I think journalists are not interested, and I use the term loosely, journalists, they're not interested in big stories, in-depth coverage.
Yep, it's got to be clickbait headlines, and that's about it. So,
right.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming back, we will be talking more with Jane Carroll. Coming up, we'll be talking about the Kavanaugh situation. Stay with us. Landmark Pacific is known for their outstanding steel buildings and general contracting. But did you know that they're also a fantastic choice to maintain your existing building? When new construction isn't an option, maintaining your existing pre-engineered steel building is absolutely imperative. Incorrect materials can greatly reduce the life of your metal roof. For metal re-roofs, repairs, or additions and remodels, call the experts at Landmark Pacific, 503-743-3256. That's 503-743-3256. And welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Jane Carroll. She is a longtime Portland radio host on KUIK, and she currently has her own podcast that you can listen anywhere on the JaneCarrollShow.com, and we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. So, Jane, we've got this Kavanaugh debacle. I mean, here's a situation where things were looking good. You know, you've got people like Jeff Flake that is kind of reluctant, but he was at least sort of looking like he was leaning towards Kavanaugh. And now, last week, we have it breaking that this woman is making these accusations against him some 35 years ago, that she is alleging that as a 15-year-old high school student that she was attacked by Kavanaugh. I mean, this is just beyond the pale. And what gets me is people like Flake don't see that this is an obvious Democrat political ploy. But what do you think about all this?
I think it's one of the most outrageous things. I don't know if you were around to watch the Clarence Thomas hearings.
Oh, yes. I was. In fact, my boss at the time had, I think, the best line ever. She was watching that, and we were on the phone, and I could hear it in the background. And all of a sudden, she just pauses, and she goes, "The gall of somebody like Ted Kennedy questioning the ethics and morals of Clarence Thomas is just beyond the pale."
That, to me, those hearings were transformative political thing.
I watched
Ted Kennedy, I watched Joe Biden, and they treated Clarence Thomas like he was a boy that they'd called in out of the plantation and whipped him.
Yes.
It was disgraceful.
It really was.
And what's going on with Judge Kavanaugh is outrageous. The Democrats winning at all cost. They will do anything. I firmly believe that this woman tried to do it from the shadows. she tried to destroy for whatever her motivation is. Dianne Feinstein took her letter. She wasn't willing to identify herself. She's even sort of admitted, I don't believe all that she said, and as much to the chagrin of the lawyers. I think they put it back on the thing. They were out of options. The vote was going to be yesterday. It was going to be on. They were going to have the vote. He was going to get confirmed. They were out of cards. They had played the race card. They'd played all their cards that they usually play. So they pulled out the Anita Hill card because it's all they had, and it is turned into to what? This could be anybody. Anybody. With these accusations that are not substantiated, not remembered, not called into the police, not anything. And you could call and make these claims, and you could have senators from, places like Hawaii going up, well, men need to shut up and zip up and do the right thing. In other words, men, you're all wrong on this. Women always tell the truth. And that isn't true.
No, it absolutely is not. In fact, as a husband and as a father of two daughters, I can say that, if a man does that to a woman, there needs to be some brutal punishment. But at the same time, if a woman lies about these kinds of things, there has to be some sort of ramification, some sort of punishment. It's got to be pretty harsh, because she can absolutely destroy a man.
And a movie career.
Exactly. But as it is right now, any woman can say anything about any man. And it's like you say, it's practically accepted simply because, she'd never lie about that.
Oh, no. You can't say it. You can't. A conservative woman can't say it against a liberal man.
Absolutely.
Juanita Broderick, and she has a far better case and more substantiation than this woman has. Yeah. She's ignored.
Keith Ellison's girlfriend,
who's a Democrat.
Yeah. And yet somehow that totally gets bypassed. Yeah. The thing that drives me a little bit up the wall on this is the notion that the Democrats want to use the FBI to go in and investigate this. Number one, they're in Congress. They're not in the executive branch.
They're called Federal Bureau of Investigation.
That's right. But, to me, in some ways, it's almost proof positive that the Democrats apparently appear really used to being able to use the FBI to investigate their political opponents. It's almost like they've done this before.
Yeah, it's pretty standard operation. Well, the thing with it, too, is that Kavanaugh's gone through six of these FBI things. Now, I'm not saying that they would be probing, did he ever rape anybody? I don't think that's the kind of, I've seen the FBI forms. I've seen, and they're very lengthy. Yeah. They're like 75 pages long. They talk to your neighbors. They talk to people from your youth. They're very, very in depth, but they're not about, and then they do check your criminal record and all that kind of stuff. But, he doesn't have anything like that. But it seems to me that a man that behaved like she says he behaved back when they were teenagers would have some other women in that 36 years would say the same thing.
Yeah, and that's not been the case at all. He's had like something like 35, 50 women all come forward saying this guy is a man of honor and integrity. I was never treated with anything but the utmost respect while working for him and with him. There's a lot of women that have come out and said, this is just unbelievable. This doesn't fit him at all. And yet somehow we're supposed to investigate this crime 35 years ago. I mean, I don't even know how, if you were the FBI and you wanted to look at that, I don't know how you could.
You wouldn't. It's a state crime and the statute of limitations has run out and there's nobody to talk to. There's no, it's a he says, she says, and the left has calculated when it's a he says, she says, they win if they've got the she says side of the argument. And the other thing that makes me so angry, and this is part of their mission too, they're saying to everybody else, not just to Kavanaugh, you accept an appointment from Trump, you get a nomination from him, we're going to destroy you.
Yeah.
When you're done, your life will be never the same.
No.
And even if he gets confirmed, that's true. His life will never be the same.
Well, and neither will the political process, because if they get away with this, you're right. I mean, they're gonna go after everybody that Trump ever nominates. But think about it from, the next president, or any of these other confirmations. What they're essentially saying is anything that you have ever done, and it's one step away from anything you've ever even thought is going to come up in these kinds of hearings,
or anything
and we're going to go after you.
Or you haven't done. We'll make it up, and if somebody claims it, that
exactly right,
that has Hollywood has cut out things, we believe her. 1,000 students at the school that she attended when she was that age, they don't know this woman. We believe you. We believe you. We trust you. They signed this letter from this school that she went to. That,
yeah. How ridiculous was it? Was for New York Senator
Kirsten Gillibrand?
Yeah, to be out there. Oh, I totally believe. She hasn't even talked with her. And yet she believes everything that this woman has said. Let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming back, we'll wrap things up with Jane Carroll. And welcome back. We're in our final segment on this week's I Spy Radio Show. Talk today to Jane Carroll. We just got done talking about the Kavanaugh situation, although I can't just leave it there just yet because, I mean, this whole thing is just one big... I'm trying to be polite here. Just one big mess in terms of the entire politics of things and as far as the deep state and everything else is concerned. And now on top of that, we have O'Keefe coming out showing once again some of these undercover videos where you've got these operatives working within the Trump administration that are doing everything they can to sabotage him.
And openly admitting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, they're just... touch of those, you know, the tip of the iceberg. They're everywhere. I don't know if you remember this, Mark, but in the transition period after Trump got elected, before he was inaugurated, you know, all the efforts that went to try to keep him out of the White House altogether. But they tried to stop the whole thing. They did those recounts, and then of course they were doing this legal stuff and the FBI and stuff to get him to keep him out of the White House. But the Obama people circulated private phones to like 10,000 people in the State Department so that they could, so they wouldn't have to use government phones to leak stuff to the media.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the collusion, you know, talking about the Russian collusion, which is non-existent, but I mean, the collusion between the government and the Democrats and the Democrats in government and the media is just astonishing. And with these O'Keefe videos, in case people haven't seen these, we'll put these up on iSpyRadio.com on this week's show page. And, you know, it's astonishing to look at these. And you've got these people admitting, you know, not knowing that they're on camera, of course, but admitting that, oh, yeah, they're totally sabotaging Trump. They're doing everything they can to slow walk his policies or, you know, some of them are actively working for the Democrat Socialists of America on company time, on our taxpayer dollar. And it's shocking to watch all this. You know, we used to think that we won the Cold War. I'm not so sure that that's true. All it did was shift the focus from Russia, and now Russia has apparently been, and socialists and communists have been slowly and quietly infiltrating our very own government. It's shocking.
Well, and they're training them in our universities.
Yes. Yes.
They're training people. This new breed of young Democrat socialists. That's what they're taught, and in our education systems, there was a survey recently out of Yale University that more people were willing to identify themselves as a member of the LGBTQ community than they were to admit, say they were conservative. And I believe that because it's so politically incorrect to be a conservative in academia, and you'll be punished in your grades, you'll be punished in... I was a political science major a long time ago, and that climate was there then. I knew how to write to the professor and not to what I thought.
Sure.
Because you'd get a lower grade. And it's on steroids now. It's that's the conventional wisdom. You'd probably be kicked out of school with my point of view if I was expressing it out loud in college. And that's frightening.
But you look at where this is all going in terms of the interaction and oversight of government. I mean, look at what happens in China right now. They've got this social scoring where if, you know, you're not following everything that they tell you, if you don't believe what they believe, if they don't believe what they tell you.
Now Google's going to work with them to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's to the point where in China, if you're not a party member, if you don't follow everything that they say, if you dare to be a Christian or something like that, your social score goes down to the point where some people aren't even allowed to buy food. They're not allowed to travel. I mean, that's where all of this is heading.
I'm afraid so. And I know some people think, going, this sounds nuts. Yeah, a lot of the things that are happening right now, like people buying people to go into to attorney general's offices, people, the deep state, people actively working in the administration against the presidency and his policies and his very survival in the office. You got John Kerry negotiating with Iran against the policies of the president of the United States.
The sabotage that we're seeing. Yeah, it is very frightening. The sabotage that we're seeing on behalf of the Democrats and the Democrat Socialists of America, but just the Democrats themselves, where they're out there actively working against the duly elected government, is just beyond belief right now. We've only got about 45 seconds here with you. Real quick, Leo Stratton, I know, was a friend of yours. He died recently in a car crash. There is now some potential that they're looking at. This may not have been an accident, and Antifa may have been involved. What do you know about that?
Well, when I first heard what happened to Leo, a great man, a great patriot, one of the best people I've ever met, and a real hero. When I heard about I knew him personally. He was a great driver. He was very conscientious. He used to come on my show, but if it affected his hours of sleep or anything like that, he wouldn't do it. He was very meticulous. And when I heard that his truck went off the road and blew up, my immediate thought was Antifa hates him, but. Yeah. But I just hope there's a full investigation. I mean, he could have had a stroke. He could have had a heart attack and he drove off the road. There could have been some malfeasance and non-protected hazardous material on his truck.
It could have been a lot of things.
What a great man.
Yeah, he was. We had him on our show, too. Jane, unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Mark. Pray for the country.
Yes, indeed. Pray for the country. Be sure to check out Jane's show. You'll be glad that you did. And, you know, as I said last week, I don't want these shows to discourage you, because when politicians do stupid things, that's the time to get more involved, not sit on the sidelines and do nothing. You have got to hold these people accountable. You've got a Republican candidate who is pro-abortion, who believes in global warming, who wants a carbon tax that could cost Oregon businesses $17 billion. Don't tell me that you can afford not to be involved in politics, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.
Food is where the heart is. Seriously, who doesn't love food? Here at the Oregon Coast Culinary Institute, we are passionate about the culinary arts, and we're looking for students who are just as passionate as we are. With a 15-month intensive program, hands-on training, and individualized attention from our instructors, you could be working in the kitchen of your dreams in no time. And let's not forget the on-campus student housing. Sound enticing? Check out OCCI.net for more information and look for the Oregon Coast Culinary Institute at your local college fair this fall.